standard of living, forever increasing in technically more perfect armaments. Why can the policy of aggression not come to a standstill before one state has conquered the entire world, even after totalitarian state has acquired full autarky within its own territory? Preparedness and foreign wars must go on at a rapid pace in order to protect against aggression from outside and revolution from within. A democratic state capitalism, while safe from within, is menaced by totalitarian aggression and must arm to the teeth and be ready to fight until all totalitarian states have been transformed into democracies. In the last century, it became evident that a society based on slave labor could not exist side by side with one organized on the principle of free labor. The same holds true in our day for democratic and totalitarian societies. Control of the state under state capitalism. If state capitalism is a workable system superior in terms of productivity to private capitalism under conditions of monopolistic market disruption, what are the political implications? If the state becomes the omnipotent controller of all human activities, the question who controls the controller embraces the problem of whether state capitalism opens a new way to freedom or leads to the complete loss of it as far as the overwhelming majority is concerned. Between the two extreme forms of state capitalism, the totalitarian and the democratic, numerous others are thinkable. Everything depends upon which social groups, in the last analysis, direct the decisions of a government whose power has in all matters, economic as well as non-economic, never been surpassed in modern history. The following is intended as a rough sketch of the social structure under totalitarian state capitalism. 1. The government is controlled by and composed of a new ruling class. We have defined this new class as an amalgamation of the key bureaucrats in business, state and party allied with the remaining vested interests. Footnote 32. Text. We have already mentioned that inherited or acquired wealth may still play a role in opening a way to this ruling group, but that it is not essential for participating in the group. One's position in the economic and administrative setup, together with party affiliations and personal qualification, is decisive for one's political power. Page 91. The new ruling class, by its grip on the state, controls everything it wants to, the general economic plan, foreign policy, rights and duties, life and death of the individual. Its decisions are not restrained by any constitutional guarantees, but by a set of rules only designed for maintaining and expanding its own power. We have seen what control over the general economic plan involves. All the basic decisions on how to distribute the factors of production among producers and consumer goods, on the working day, labor conditions and wages and prices. To sum up, control of the general economic plan means control over the standard of living. Antagonisms of interests among the group within the ruling class might lead to serious difficulties. The class interest of maintaining this new status, however, will probably be strong enough for a long time to overcome these antagonisms before they can turn into a menace to the system. The persons who form the ruling class have been prepared for their task by their position in or their cooperation with the monopolistic institutions of private capitalism. There, a rapidly growing number of decisive functions have become invested in a comparatively small group of bureaucrats. The leader and follower principle flourished long before it was promulgated as the basic principle of society, since more and more responsibility has been centralized in the top offices of the government, business, trade unions, and political parties. Two, those owners of capital who are capitalists without being managers and who could exercise great political influence during the whole era of private capitalism no longer have any necessary social functions. They receive interests on their investments for as long as time and in their measure that the new ruling class may be willing to grant. From the point of view of their social utility, they constitute a surplus population under the impact of heavy inheritance taxes, controlled stock markets, and generally hostile attitude of the new ruling class against the raffende Kapital. These capitalists will probably disappear. The widespread hatred against them could develop only because the economic laws of capitalism had transformed their social role into that of parasites. 3. A semi-dependent group not belonging to the ruling class but enjoying more privileges than the Gefolgschaften are the free professions and the middle and the small business under governmental control. Both will disappear whenever a fully developed state capitalism corresponding to our model is reached. The process of concentration, which gains unprecedented momentum under state capitalism, absorbs the independent small and medium enterprise. Page 92. The trend toward socialization of medicine, of journalism, other free profession transforms their members into government employees. 4. The great majority of the people fall into the category of salaried employees of all types. They are subject to the leader principle of command and obedience. All their political rights have been destroyed, and carefully planned atomization has simplified the task of keeping them under strict control. Labor's right to bargain collectively, to strike, to change jobs and residence at will, if its market position permits, is abolished. Work becomes compulsory. Wages are fixed by government agency. The leisure time of the worker in its family is organized from above. In some respects, this is antithetical to the position of labor and under private capitalism and revives many traits of feudal conditions. 5. The new state openly appears as an institution in which all earthly power is embodied and which serves the new ruling class as a tool for its power politics. Seemingly independent institutions like party, army, and business forms its specialized arms. A complicated relation exists, however, between the means and those who apply them, resulting in some genuine independence for these institutions. Political domination is achieved by organized terror and overwhelming propaganda on the one side, on the other by full employment and an adequate standard of living for all key groups. The promise of security and a more abundant life for every subject who submits voluntarily and completely. This system is far from being based upon brute force alone, in that it provides many real satisfaction for its subject. It exists partly with the consent of the governed, but this consent cannot change the antagonistic character of a state capitalistic society in which the power interests of the ruling class prevent the people from fully using the productive forces for their own welfare and from having control over the organization and activities of society. We have referred here and there to what we think are particular traits of the democratic form of state capitalism. Since no approaches to it have so far been made in practice, and since the discussion of it is still in a formative stage. Footnote 33, text. No attempt will be made here to construct a model for it. The trend toward state capitalism is growing, however, in its non-totalitarian states. An increasing number of observers admit very often reluctantly that private capitalism is no longer able to handle the new tasks. All plans for internal post-war reconstruction start with the assumption that more or less permanent government controls will have replaced laissez-faire methods both in the national and the international sphere. Page 93. Thus, the choice is not between totalitarian controls and return to free enterprise. The choice is between totalitarian controls and controls voluntarily accepted by the people of each country for the benefit of society as a whole. Footnote 34. Text. It is the lesson of all large-scale measures of government interference that they will contribute to the disruption of the market mechanism if they are not coordinated into a general plan. If government is to provide for all the items recognized as mandatory in the more serious post-war reconstruction programs, footnote 35. Text. It must be vested with adequate powers, and these might not stop short of state capitalism. It is of vital importance for everybody who believes in the values of democracy that an investigation be made as to whether state capitalism can be brought under democratic control. The social as well as the moral problems with which the democracies are confronted has been formulated as follows. How can we get effective use of our resources, yet at the same time preserve the underlying values in our tradition of liberty and democracy? How can we employ our unemployed? How can we use our plant and equipment to the full? How can we take advantage of the best modern technology, yet in all this make the individual source of value and individual fulfillment in a society the basic objective? How can we obtain effective organization of resources, yet at the same time retain the maximum freedom of individual action? Footnote 36. Text. Totalitarian state capitalism offers the solution of economic problem at the price of totalitarian oppression. What measures are necessary to guarantee control of the state by the majority of its people instead of by a small minority? What ways and means can be devised to prevent the abuse of an enormous power vested in state, industrial and party bureaucracy under state capitalism? How can the laws of economic liberty be rendered compatible with the maintenance of political liberty? How can the disintegrative motive forces of today be replaced by integrative ones? How will the roots from which insurmountable social antagonism develop be eliminated so that there will not arise a political alliance between this essential partial interest and the bureaucracy aiming to dominate the majority? Can democratic state capitalism be more than a transitory phase leading either to total oppression or to doing away with the remnants of the capitalistic system? The main obstacles to the democratic form of state capitalism are of a political nature and can be overcome by political means only. If our thesis proves to be correct, society on its present level can overcome the handicaps of the market system by economic planning. Page 94. Some of the best brains of this country are studying the problem how such planning can be done in a democratic way, but a great amount of theoretical work will have to be performed before answers to every question will be forthcoming.